in that strategic plan they not only narrowed our scope, which I think is important because what gets focus actually takes action, and they also ranked those priorities. And those priorities are, in order, drive demand for pork. Number two, collaborate the greatest level possible with our state partners, my language. And then third is, you know, swine health. And how do we get our arms around, Tara, something I know you're passionate about, the endemic diseases that face our producers here. So it's all about driving demand, partnering with our states, and making for us a healthier swine herd.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Keep your feed safe from pathogens with VVC Premix. VVC Premix from DSM Firmenich is made up of ultra-pure benzoic acid and nature-identical flavorings to guard your feed and improve performance. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hi there. Welcome to the Swine It podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host, and today I have Dr. Brett Kaysen as my guest. Brett is the Senior Vice President of Producer and State Engagement for the National Pork Board. In his position, Brett leads grassroots efforts to empower state associations and drive long-term success for the U.S. pork industry. Welcome to the Swine It podcast, Brett.
Well, thank you, Dr. Donovan. It's a pleasure to be with you today. So I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Today on our show, we're going to discuss the importance of investing in the future of the pork industry. We're going to cover topics from collaboration between state and industry organizations, growing the demand for pork, improving the health of the U.S. swine herd, and supporting youth talent development. But before we get started, Brett, would you introduce yourself to our listeners to share a little bit about your path to becoming the Senior Vice President at the National Pork Board?
Yes, happy to. And as I tell everybody, at the end of the day, I'm just a pig farmer. I grew up on a pig farm in Colorado. And if any of your listeners have flown into Denver International Airport, they have flown into the original Kaysen Family Farms. That was a portion of that real estate. Moved up to Northern Colorado. Majority of my career was spent at Colorado State University in the Department of Animal Sciences there. Did a three-year stint with Zoetis, both on the dairy side and on the swine health side, and have been at the National Pork Board for 7 years. Uniquely enough, I was on the National Pork Board Board of Directors as a producer leader prior to joining the staff, and started my career here at the Pork Board 7 years ago as the Assistant Vice President of Sustainability, and have since moved into this role leading our producer and state engagement team. However, had a short stint of serving as the interim lead for our animal health team or our vet team here as well. So an interesting background at different stages, and it's been a fun ride to bring me to the current state.
Great. Well, thank you for that. And that's really interesting. I have family in Denver, so I was familiar with the new airport being built and actually flew into the old airport before. So I know exactly the area.
Optimize growth in baby pigs with Uniferon 200 iron dextrin from Pharmacosmos. Field studies have demonstrated 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 can lead to a 7-pound increase at market weight, along with a 5% increase in average daily gain. 2 1-milliliter doses of Uniferon 200 are recommended to ensure enhanced growth and performance from weaning to market. To learn more, visit us.uniferon.com/research.
So, Brett, start us off with talking about, you know, the general initiatives that you're working on with the National Pork Board, and that'll lead us into some specifics.
Well, what I can tell you and the listeners is I'm excited, and I've always seen it as a pleasure to serve at the National Pork Board, but I probably have a little extra energy in my step. And some people say, Brett, that's not possible for you, but I do. And our board of directors just recently has approved a 3-year strategic plan. And that 3-year strategic plan has really defined our focus here at the Checkoff on how to best serve the farmer moving forward. And that's what we're going to talk a lot about today, I know, but in that strategic plan they not only narrowed our scope, which I think is important because what gets focus actually takes action. And they also ranked those priorities. And those priorities are, in order, drive demand for pork. Number two, collaborate to the greatest level possible with our state partners, my language. And then third is, you know, swine health. And how do we get our arms around, Tara, something I know you're passionate about, the endemic diseases that face our producers here. So it's all about driving demand, partnering with our states, and making for us a healthier swine herd. So that's the future. And you say, well, that's three things. That's three big things. But it's fun that we get to focus on that and really make a difference for our farmers.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start with the first one. So the driving the demand for pork. I know there's, I saw some, you know, I love the ads pork. Pork as a protein is of course, you know, my favorite. So tell us about what you're doing there. Give us some more detail.
Well, I'm glad we're aligned that pork is your favorite. So good. You passed the exam. We'll start that way with the conversation. But taste what pork can do. Right. And I'll say it again, taste what pork can do. Love this. But a lot of people will get hung up and get excited about the tagline, which is great. But this is really a cultural shaping of how do we position pork with a younger generation of eaters and consumers. And so although people like the tagline and I think it's phenomenal, the data sets, the energy, the effort, the strategy behind the tagline itself, but how we can actually talk to consumers and certain generational types on what they're thinking, feeling, thinking, hearing about pork, and it's really speak to them as individuals and how they fit in the pork category is like nothing I've ever seen before. And I've been involved in multiple marketing campaigns over my career, both personally and professionally, here at the National Pork Board and in other parts of my career. As a scientist, I love this marketing campaign. It's data driven. No disrespect to any marketing campaigns before. It is totally data driven. And that just gives me that extra comfort and feel that we're going to market in the most appropriate way possible to be the most effective and efficient with the producer dollar to make pork relevant to this younger generation of eaters in the United States. It's exciting times. Hopefully you can hear the passion in my voice. I'm excited.
Oh, I can. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, understanding, you know, the value of protein in the diet, right? We went through a period of time in the industry where, you know, vegetarianism, we felt like we were just getting beat down. And so I think it's a new era. And I'm seeing so much great science about the importance of meat protein. So it's great. And I think definitely the way that some of the advertisements and some of the marketing to work with, you know, chefs and work with already prepared recipes is also helpful, because I get new ideas all the time when I see some of that, you know, look what pork can do, right? Taste what pork can do. So very cool. So let's jump into the next one. How are you working with the other organizations? So one of the initiatives that you just mentioned was collaborating with state and associations and other national organizations, right, to come together and support our industry.
Well, I would start by saying, and some folks may not know this that are listening, is that outside of the National Pork Board, obviously there's the National Pork Producers Council that is plays an imperative role in our farmers' success today and in the future. But then sometimes we don't celebrate enough the 42 state pork associations. So there are 42 state pork associations. A little behind the scenes, right before I jumped on with you, I was visiting with the president of the New York Pork Producers Association, right? And so sometimes people think of New York as Long Island, but there are a lot of pig farmers in the state of New York actually producing a wonderful product as well. And our board of directors and the organization has committed to say, listen, these 42 state pork associations are so, so critical to the success of the industry. And as I share with our team here in Des Moines quite frequently, when you look at the lens of the American pig farmer and you say, okay, who is the closest to the American pig farmer from an association perspective? It's truly those producers that have a state pork association that they're affiliated with. Now, not all 50 states have those, but they are truly connected to the farmer. And from a National Pork Board perspective, this should be and will be, as long as I'm engaged, a grassroots-driven organization from the bottom up. And I always say, you can't be the best national pork board you could be without your boots under the farmer's table. You know, the other phrasing I like to use is, what's going on rural Route 2? And that's really what this strategic imperative number 2 speaks to, is that are we truly being the best partner we can to those 42 state pork associations? You know, at their premise, they're the closest to the farmer that's paying the checkoff. The other thing that it excites me about it is that, you know, some of the places in which, and this is where the marketing campaign and I think the states come together, some of the states in which are the largest people population states in the United States that we really need to digitally target with Taste What Pork Can Do to sell more pork more often have not a lot of pigs. And so when you think about it, 50% of the U.S. population and fresh pork consumption is controlled in 10 states in this country. And you think about states like California and Florida, and I've mentioned New York, a lot of people, not a lot of pigs. And so the way our system's set up is that not a lot of checkoff resources flow back to them because the money really follows the pigs. And as your listeners know, Iowa's the number one production state. So obviously the checkoff dollars flow the most to Iowa. And although Iowa's got a lot of pigs and we appreciate that, there's only 3 million people in Iowa. So when you're trying to move the consumer demand needle, you've got to have those 42 state pork associations engaged on helping marketing that product. And so the national organization is ready, willing, and able to send more resources from a money perspective and a funding perspective, but also from a staffing perspective. And then how do we actually staff up in those states? So there's a leader at the state pork association, professional staff member, thinking about pork as a protein every day, as well as protecting that freedom to operate. So those are high level strategies, but I'm excited about the way we can best serve our 42 state pork partners and ultimately the pig farmers in this country that pay into the checkoff.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that before, Brett, that, you know, you're right. I think about the National Pork Board as, you know, serving the pork producers, and certainly it's two different areas, because like you said, a state like California and Florida, you know, it's not Iowa or North Carolina or Illinois, where all the pork is produced. So, really interesting, thought process and hadn't really considered it before. So what about the farmers themselves? We are very diverse, right? And you serve, you know, back to the farmer. So tell us how you think through and serve just the different variety of pig farmer that we have as part of the checkoff.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, one of the favorite parts of my job is to serve the farmer. And I am one. We still have a pig farm here in Iowa, and that's what drives me. This is mission-driven work. But then to your question, say, okay, well, Brett, how do you best do that as a national organization? And I think before you talk about that, you got to talk about the audience. And I'll frame this up for your listeners for a moment. You know, sometimes folks say, well, Brett, what's the most challenging part of your job? And I say, well, I have 60,000 bosses. And they kind of look at me with that blank stare. And the United States Department of Agriculture census says there's approximately 60,000 pig farmers in this country. And the checkoff was designed to serve all of them. And so think about that audience for a moment. We serve the 8-year-old 4-H young person that's showing a pig at the county fair, all the way to some of the largest systems in the world. That is our scope of producers. So we start with who's our audience, just as you should. And then what we really do is take a step back and say, okay, obviously how we impact an 8-year-old 4-H young person is very much different than the large systems. What value can the National Pork Board and the checkoff bring that they can't create for themselves, right? And so one of those would be, if you're a smaller producer in the state of Oregon, you may not have your own herd veterinary. You may not have your own nutritionist. You may not have your own environmental person. Boy, the checkoff can lean in with our subject matter experts and provide a lot of value to you. However, on the other side of some of our larger systems, where they have a lot of human capital and resources around them, the other thing the checkoff can do in this space, which I think is critical, is I always say the checkoff has the ability to convene a variety of producers. They can catalyze thoughts and then they can scale them in a non-competitive nature. And there's not many folks that can do that. And I think that's a huge value proposition when you think about the smallest of small farms to the largest farms. And it's fun. It's hard to navigate that sometimes, but that's how we kind of strategize how we best serve the farmer.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about other national organizations that you're working with the National Pork Board in terms of, you know, you mentioned, the National Pork Producers Association. And then, you know, what about things like Swine Health Information Center and the AASB, right? There's a lot of collaboration there too. Let's talk about that a little bit for our audience.
Talk about a few, and thank you for again, National Pork Producers Council is a important strategic partner to the National Pork Board and to our farmers. And a friend of mine said it best one time, it says, you know, they're funded differently, but they're funded by the same pig and the same farmer. And let us not forget that. And so our board of directors has said, you will communicate and collaborate with the National Pork Producers Council, but make sure you don't duplicate, which is fair. But let's talk about some of those other national organizations. And Tara, you mentioned a few. Swine Health Information Center. The Swine Health Information Center has done fantastic work from my personal and professional perspective. But let us not forget, it is mainly funded, majority funded with checkoff dollars. And I was fortunate enough to be on the board of directors when we made that decision to create CHIC and fund CHIC. And what they've done around the emerging diseases, right, platforms is absolutely mission critical to protecting our borders and our farmers. I'll take it a little step further. And you mentioned a couple of the other in the swine health space. But some of our other partnerships with national organizations are the United Soybean Board. And you'd say, well, Brett, help me understand that one. Early on in my career, when I was working in the space of sustainability, one thing we know relative to sustainability per pound of pork produced, that a big part of our footprint is the row crop feed stuff in which the pig consumes. And we know that the majority of the pig diet's made up of soybeans and corn. So the National Corn Growers Association has been a great partner, the United Soybean Board, as I mentioned before. And I'll mention another, the Meat Institute. The Meat Institute is one that's represented mainly by the packers. And ultimately, we know we serve the farmer, but as farmers, we produce one thing, and that is pork. And that goes from the farm gate all the way through, you know, the packing plants to further processing. So those are just a few of many partners that we have that allow us to be as successful as possible as the National Pork Board, and making sure that we're adding value to our product and building trust in the entire supply chain.
So let's jump into the initiative about improving the health of the U.S. swine herd. And, you know, some of the collaboration groups that we just mentioned, you know, are certainly have a similar goal, right, in terms of helping to create more profitability for the pig farmer through better health and less disease. So let's dig into that a little bit.
Well, I would start by saying this, and this is right up your wheelhouse. I know something you're very passionate about, right, as a professional. I was really worried when we first got the news of African swine fever and when that first news came about protecting our borders. And the National Pork Board took a fundamental leap and shift and said, hey, you know, prevent and prepare. And we've really focused, to be honest with you, over the last several years on that foreign animal disease pressure. And it was the right thing to do. Our farmers asked us to do it. We'll continue to do that. But I also want to be real with you and our listeners here for a moment that I have to say in 2024, as I travel our great country every week talking to farmers, you always hear about PRRS, okay? And you take it, you filter it, you look at the maps, you study the tools that are available to us, to the University of Minnesota and others. But I'll have to tell you, in 2024, the narrative around the virulence of PRRS, the population, as the geography of PRRS, I came back to our team, our leadership team, and I said, I know we hear about PRRS, but I've never heard about it like this. And I walked them through what I'd been hearing. And really the final straw for me was the Midwest Pork Conference, first part of December in Indianapolis in 2024. I was in the room with hundreds of people and I said, this is different than it's ever been. And one of the things the Pork Board did is we launched a producer survey to survey the producers and say, hey, what do you want us to work on with your checkoff investment? 98% of the respondents said, we've got to start to get our arms around this endemic disease problem. And it's not that we haven't been working on it. We all know that. We've done the research. We've done diagnosis. I mean, it's not like this is new news. But I think because of the financial pressure that our farmers were under in 23 and 24, and you could see those that had a healthy herd and their economic viability versus those that didn't in a downtrodden, historically low market, it even brought it to light greater. And so I'm proud to say that then our board of directors challenged us as staff to say it's time to think and do different. And that is, could we create a farmer-led, and I'm going to emphasize that, a farmer-led, producer-led initiative to create a national swine health strategy to figure out, hey, where is the winnable moments early and often that we can start to impact this? And the connection there for our listeners, and they know this isn't all about the pigs, it's also about the people. And we know that labor is a challenge in our industry. I kind of jokingly say it, but not really. There's times I'll talk to our farmers, what are the three things that keep you up at night? And they'll say labor and labor and labor. Swine health and labor are not disconnected from a recruitment and retention perspective. Because for those of us that have spent time in barns, it's a lot more fun to be a caretaker of healthy pigs than it is challenged pigs. And so I think between the financial pressure and our labor shortages, and just this changing virulence of PRRS in particular, and we got PEDV and mycoplasma and all those others I know, and the survey data, our board said it's time to lead from the front. And I'm proud of that. And all those organizations in the swine health community that support swine health in this country, I'm so grateful for them. Without them, we can't go as far as fast as we need to. But when you really take a step back and you look and say, but where are the producer-led organizations that will drive this strategy, it's really at the National Pork Producers or National Pork Producers Council. It's at the National Pork Board, and it's our 42 state pork associations. And I love the fact that it's going to be producer led. We're doing surveys right now, both in person and the digital space. I can sleep very well at night knowing that, listen, this is not Brett in Des Moines making up a national swine health strategy. This is feedback from our farmers, then putting the experts around that body of work and saying, okay, now what do we do? And it's going to be hard. It's going to be a long, long effort, but I'm excited of what we could do. And I recently sat on a presentation this week that there are places in the world where they have minimized some of these, what we call endemic diseases, with some different strategies. And what I'm going to say is the we mentality as opposed to the me mentality. So stay tuned for further information, but I'm excited about the journey.
Oh man, you couldn't have made my day more exciting either. That I can tell you, I was thinking the other day, I've been, working in the swine industry for over 25 years, and I don't know it without PRRS being in it. So I was in high school or middle school or something when PRRS was first, detected and understood as a virus. And then, so I've never really seen pork production without that being, a disease that we've had to deal with. And it can be very demotivating, right? And you just feel beat down. And so after, many, many years of, watching our industry understand and the science come and the tools, that we have today, molecular tools to understand that virus more and understand why it's changing and, not just seeing it out in the field that it's getting more severe or it's harder to control or it seems like it's, easier to spread. But we have the tools to understand why that's happening molecularly. And so now is the time. But it has to be producer led, right? As a veterinarian, I think you could have asked our veterinary group, 10 years ago, what's your biggest goal? And we would have said, let's get rid of PRRS because we're tired of it, right? But, that's our focus, right, is the health. And we don't have the economics and the all the other pressures, right, that pork producers have to think about and other initiatives that have to keep their business going. For us, that's number one and always has been. but it has to start with the producer. So that's really exciting. We have the tools, we have the science, we have successes in different states and different areas, you know, producers that have been able to get rid of PRRS and stay negative. So it's there, we can do it. And so exciting to hear you say that.
In swine production, performance is everything. At Lupta, we know your success depends on measurable results. That's why our feed additives go beyond improving palatability. They're scientifically designed to enhance feed intake, support animal well-being, and drive optimal growth. From the wean transition to periods of stress, our solutions deliver what matters most: resilient animals, improved performance, and a stronger bottom line. Backed by decades of expertise and a commitment to innovation, Lupta is redefining swine nutrition. Because when your herd thrives, so does your business. Lupta, create, connect, inspire. Visit lupta.com to learn more.
So how do we get some young people to understand, you know, what these initiatives are, right? So, you know, I've lived with PRRS and been in the swine industry, and clearly you've been in the swine industry, and we both have a great passion for that. So how do we expand that and get young people into our industry?
It's currently a challenge, right? Although as a, you know, former academician for 17 years, seeing the passion in the youth's eyes as an undergraduate and graduate students, I mean, to be honest with you, that's part of what I miss is just, you know, I kept getting older, but the freshmen were still 18 and their passion and their drive and their want to do great things. So they're there. I think we have to take one step back before we talk about how to get them involved and say, well, why wouldn't they want to be involved? Right. And so there's a couple things that come to mind. You know, you want to be a part of a business that's growing, thriving, and profitable. Right. I mean, if you're going to sign me up for something where I'm going to work extremely hard, I can have all the passion in the world, but I hope I see some fiscal benefit from it. And so if we grow consumer demand and we continue to maintain that international portfolio of demand that we currently have, and we can create a pull-through strategy of our product, boy, that creates then the demand for the product, which is the demand for pigs, and then we can get in that growing, thriving, profitable business. That's what young people want to be a part of. So this is how all the strategic plan ties together. Number two, and we talked about it, but I want to reemphasize it. I know a lot of young people that love being around pigs, love being in pig barns, but it's sure a lot more fun for them when they get a really focus on, you know, facility management and nutrition and ventilation and veterinary care on a healthy set of pigs. Now, there's always going to be outages. We're managing a biological system, but you said it so well, Tara. It can be demoralizing when you're like, geez, we're doing all the things and we're still getting beat. And it's like you said it, as a veterinarian, you get beat down and you get demoralized. So making a healthier herd makes young people then want to get engaged, whether that be at a SLAT level or a consultative level or allied industry. And so that's how we get them engaged. And then I think with the other thing that we need to think about with our young people coming through, and we do have an older population of pig farmers in this country, is that I think you would agree with me, there's fewer and fewer young people coming from farms and ranches. And it was interesting, if I go back to my 17-year teaching career, when I first started teaching, you know, you'd come into the basic animal science course, or I taught the senior level swine production course, 70% of them were from farms and ranches. 17 years later, that was inverse. 70% of them were coming from Chicago, LA, Houston, right? With this passion for animals. Not good, bad, or indifferent, just different. And we have to show them that there's a big world out there, right? And I'm going to use this as anecdote, and you'll appreciate this, is some of them coming in as freshmen, they thought you had three options in animal agriculture. I can be a farmer, I can be a rancher, or I can be a veterinarian. And that's great. But I said, oh, there's such a big world out there, right? And so we've got to show them all the wonderful things that are available in this thing we call the swine industry and make that available to them. And that comes with an awareness and an education and relationships. And so it's funny, over my career, as I'm getting older, as you make folks aware to those things, they just get so excited and passionate about, I had no idea, Brett, of all these things that I could do Now I want to be a meat scientist. Great. So those are a few of the things that, boy, let's drive demand, create profitability that wants people to get in the pig business. Let's make these pigs healthier, right? So that they're actually enjoying their time in the barn. Let's open up their eyes. And then to your point about how do they get engaged, start with your state pork association. If you are a young person and you're in a state and you have a state pork association, raise your hand and say, what can I do to engage? And as my dad always said, the world is run by those that show up. And I can almost guarantee you, no matter your age, whether you're 18 or 88, if you raise your hand and say, I want to be involved in my local state pork association, they will welcome you in the tent. And so not only within your career, but then you see the bigger industry. So that would be my encouragement, is really get involved with your local state pork associations. And some of our states still have county pork associations. That's a good place to start as well. So I get excited about what could be, but I also think we owe it to the next generation to do everything we can to drive demand, drive profitability, and make healthier pigs so they want to be a part of this wonderful thing called the pork family.
Absolutely. And we have to show them there is opportunity, right? And there's opportunity for growth. There's opportunity beyond just a pig farmer or a veterinarian or the path that, you know, we maybe were introduced, 20, 30 years ago when we were going through school. There's so much technical, look at the ventilation systems, look at the environmental programs, look at all of the data, I get to interview so many different people in our industry on the SwineNet podcast, but I can tell you, not very many of them have actually been veterinarians. And so I'm almost to my 50th episode, and I can count on one hand the veterinarians, but they've been animal scientists, they've been ventilation experts. So it's so exciting that there are different disciplines that I didn't even really realize were out there. So opportunity for the young people, as well as, like you mentioned, it has to be fun, right? You spend a lot of time at your job. And so if it's not fun and producers aren't making money and we have, disease that's beating us down, that doesn't make it fun. So absolutely, I think the initiatives are right on. And I am also passionate about bringing young people into our great industry. So it's been really great to visit with you today. We've been discussing with Dr. Brett Kaysen with the National Pork Board how they're investing in the future of the pork industry. We've discussed some initiatives of collaboration between the National Pork Board and other industry organizations, how important the state associations are. In addition, we've discussed how important promoting pork, our product, is, and certainly how to improve the U.S. swine herd and recruiting young people to come into our industry and be as passionate as we are. So, Brett, before we end, you have some final thoughts and take homes for our listeners on the initiatives we've discussed today?
I do, and I would say thank you for the opportunity. This has been fun. I've really enjoyed it. Before I talk about the initiatives, I would just say thank you to the American pig farmers for what you do. It's a noble cause. You make a difference, right? In what you do, people love your product and they love what you do. And there's days people are probably like, gosh, I'm just getting beat down every day, beat down. And getting a little emotional here for a reason because of my passion. But they respect you, and what you do is so, so important. So thank you. And then to our board of directors, thank you for setting the direction for this industry. I mean, Terry, you said it well. Geez, how do you argue with drive demand domestically, protect the international piece too, be a good partner to your grassroots level folks, and then finally make for a healthier swine herd and happier people. And I say that to our board of directors because the survey data and then my boots under people's tables all over this country matches what I hear our farmers asking. And the National Pork Board, at the end of the day, was built by pig farmers, for pig farmers, to serve pig farmers. And I sleep very well at night knowing directionally we're correct over the next 3 years to drive these initiatives. And we will execute against them, and we will succeed with the help of the American pig farmer in collaboration from up and down the supply chain.
Well, we're rounding our time together, and I want to say thank you as well to our listeners and to you, Brett, for coming on and sharing your passion and enthusiasm with me. If you liked our podcast, please give us a thumbs up. And if you have questions or comments, send those on your podcast platform.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Vaxinova, formulate to your needs, custom-made vaccines. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth. AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost pig health and performance. When it comes to raising healthy, strong swine, the environment makes all the difference. Pancopia provides better environmental conditions for swine so that they can grow faster and more efficiently. Grow smarter, grow stronger, and watch your profits soar. Pancopia, the future of swine care starts here. Visit pancopia.com today to learn more.
As a trademark of our show, we ask our guests before we let them go a few thought-provoking questions just to get to know them a little bit more. So, Brett, the first question that I have for you is, what's a book or resource that you is your go-to in your area of expertise?
And I don't know if I have an area of expertise. What I can tell you is that over the last, probably two decades, I've spent a lot of time reading leadership books. I'm passionate about it. I also believe that as a senior leader in the organization, I can't lead today the same way that I'll be able to lead tomorrow. I've got to continue to level up. And so lots of favorite books, and I'll talk about authors, right? John Maxwell is one of my favorites. Stephen Covey's another, and you can take those titles. And, you know, there's lots of portfolio there for folks to consume. But I also talk to our staff a little bit about this is I always say association work is simple. It's not easy. And they kind of look at me funny, Tara, and I say, it's simple in the fact that it's all about relationships. It doesn't make it easy. And so a read that I just finished, I've read it twice, by Ryan Leek. Ryan Leek is How to Work with Complicated People. How to Work with Complicated People. And I would encourage your listeners to dig in. You'll listen to it or you'll read it and say, well, that makes sense. Well, that makes sense. Well, that makes sense. And I won't spill all the premise, but I will say we're all complicated. We're all human and we all have to work together. And we need to give each other grace and do that to the best of our ability. So that's one of my favorite reads here as of late.
Thank you for that. I haven't heard of that one. And so I'll check it out because, you know, no matter what you're doing, your personal life, you know, work, maybe something in the community, you know, you come across all different types of people with different backgrounds. And some of those may not be like you. And so you try to figure out, how do I work better with this person? Because you don't have, you know, maybe a lot of similarities. So no, great advice. I'll check that one out again, one I hadn't heard of before. So what about, you know, we usually say an area of your expertise and then something outside of your area of expertise that you found, you know, it can be a book or a resource or even a podcast that you like to listen to that's something beyond this wine industry that you think our listeners might be interested in.
Yes, I would say beyond the swine industry and even beyond my consumption of leadership podcasts and books, one of my favorite reads is by Rick Warren called The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. And, you know, I think about Terry, your and I's journey in this wonderful thing called the pig business, but I'd say it all comes down to passion, right? And follow your passion. But one of my favorite lines in any book is the opening of this book, and it says, it's not about you. I mean, it opens and says right away, it's not about you. And when you think about what we do in the pig business, we're wired that way. We're servant leaders, right? We're here to provide a product. And so that's another one of my favorite, that it's not pig related. It's not animal science related. But when you really think about the culture of farming and agriculture, I always tell people culture is the word, a word within agriculture. Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. I would encourage your listeners to have a read if you haven't read it yet.
I agree. I have that book as well. And, you know, I have a little bit of an issue with, I like to listen to books, but I also like to have the book because I have these earmarks, right? And I go back to them. And so if it's digital and, you know, I get it from the library, I have to give it back. And so that's really tough for me. But there's some that you just have to have. And that's one that definitely I have the physical book and I haven't gone back to it recently, but I should, because it's a good one. And like you said, the whole core is about, you know, the swine, the agricultural industry, not just swine, but farmers and ag. So very good. So our last question is, share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others.
My answer probably will be too simple, but I find it something that I continue to work on, and something to your question that I find the great ones, when I say the great leaders, the great professionals, do really well. And it's listen. It's quite simply listen. And sometimes I think we as experts take in all this knowledge and we get, you know, all these degrees, and maybe we've got 40 years of service at the farm level. And sometimes you just have to pause and listen. And it's amazing what you can learn. And we've all heard the saying, right? The good Lord gave us two ears and one mouth. It's easy to say, it's harder to do. But I'll build on that. Is one of the mantras I try to build within our team here at the National Pork Board, the team that I lead, the producer and state engagement team, is I'm a big fan of the listen, learn, and then lead. Listen intently, learn from those listenings, and then we lead. And sometimes I think leaders are so type A, you know, driven. It's like, I see a problem, fix a problem. See a need, fill a need. That's fine. But do we really slow down to understand what the need truly is? And that's part of the reason, too, I'll be honest with you. I get excited about this strategic plan to bring it back to where we started. This whole Taste What Pork Can Do consumer marketing campaign was built from the ground up with producers, packers, processors, marketers. We brought 20 plus people together for a while, state pork associations as well. What do we need to do here? We listened. We learned from their feedback. We launched Taste What Pork Can Do. As we've shared, and I'll just make sure that we emphasize, as we go on this national swine health strategy journey, you said it, Tara, thank you. It's got to be producer-driven and producer-led. That's listening to the farmer before you create the strategy. And then back to our state partners. If we don't listen to our 42 state pork association partners of their needs, wants, wishes, and desires, the national organization will never be as good as it could be. And so listen, learn, and then lead. That would be my encouragement of what I've seen as greatness in some of those great leaders.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Some people say, you know, ask the question, right? So be curious, ask questions. But I think you also have to listen to the answer, right? And really listen. So not only have the right questions, but then listen to the answers, and that leads you to where you go, what your initiatives can be. So very good. Well, it's great to see you again. It's been a joy to visit with you and learn about the initiatives the National Pork Board has. And we'll sign off for today. Thanks for listening to the Swine It Podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good to see you.
You too.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.